What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eden, and I am here with the talk of the town.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Here with the talk of the town.
We take you to the Hometown Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
Present the talk of the town. I am your host, Nick Eden, and for the first time in a long time, y'all, we got the whole crew here. I got my man Al with me.
What up, what up?
And as always, back there eating on some chicken noodle soup because his voice a little scratchy. Got my man KG.
What's going on, man? I'm sound like DOC and the DOC.
Man, you sounded like Samuel L. Jackson and Django. Who is this nigga on this mag?
Hey, man, I'm just trying to get my voice back, man.
I told you about yelling at them Pee Wee football game. You just don't realize it.
No. See, what happened was, and what G ain't trying to tell us is that G was probably at a Beyonce concert last night somewhere, hollering and screaming in the front row.
Got jokes.
What are you doing?
All the single ladies.
Y'all got jokes. What's so messed up about it is he probably lost his voice during the part that Solange came out. It wasn't even during the Beyonce song. It was while Solange.
Ah, damn.
Y'all got jokes. Jokes.
Oh, man. Al, what you been up to this week, man? I know it's been a busy week for you, though.
Yeah, man. Everything's been pretty busy over here, man. Just trying to take it in, man. What's up with your boy 2 Chainz, man?
Yeah, did he get arrested somewhere? I thought I saw that.
Yeah, over in Oklahoma, man. I don't know. I don't know if he has anything to do with it. But, of course, his name is going to be on the headline, of course. But 2 Chainz and 11 of his people that were on his tour bus leaving from a performance that they had the other night with Lil Wayne and T.I. in Oklahoma City was arrested. They actually arrested the driver. And when the driver got off the bus, the interior door shut and locked immediately as soon as he closed the door. So they refused to get off the bus. They were on the bus for about 9 hours, and then the police station, when they got a warrant, and they eventually got off the bus. But all of them were, of course, out on bail, $2,000 bail per person or whatever. But from what the sheriff reported was that other charges will be filed against them. So I don't know what's going to happen after that. Cause, this is his second time he's been pulled over in a traffic stop in relation to some type of marijuana charge or paraphernalia.
I guess my thing is, you didn't think they was going to spot your black ass in Oklahoma?
Exactly. I don't understand why he didn't get the hell up out of there after the concert. You know what I'm saying?
Let me explain something to all our fellow artists out there. Let me explain something to y'all. If you do urban music, and we're talking about rap, hip-hop, R&B, EDM, neo-soul, whatever the case may be, if you're in a place like Oklahoma, Nebraska, Arkansas, Arizona, tread lightly. Think about that before you go over there. This ain't Atlanta.
Wait.
They're not going to let you just pass on because you're 2 Chainz.
Right. He'll learn his lesson.
Anyway. Well, on some positive news in Black history, in Black people news this week, we got some good sales going on. Kate Michelle comes in at number 2 on the Billboard charts with her new album, Rebellious Souls. She comes in at number 2 with 68,000 copies sold. That set is led by the single VSOP. I listened to the album this morning, and I got to say, man, she did a thing.
Okay,
I was nervous.
Is it a true R&B album, or is it a pop R&B with a little rap R&B album?
It's R&B. It's got a hip-hop edge to it, but it's R&B. And I hate to liken her to this because she always gets comparisons to her, but she puts me in the mind of Keisha Cole's first album, The Way It Is. You know, it's R&B, but it's got some edge to it. And, you know, she's really doing the thing. So I can say this, and y'all know I don't endorse albums much, but I will say Kate Michelle's album is nice. Y'all need to check it out. In stores right now, number 2 on the Billboard charts. Not far behind her, Romeo Robinson. Huh?
Go ahead. I'm just being foolish,
man. Oh, and when y'all get a chance, check out her song, Pay My Bills. I promise you it's not what you think. Just check out the song. You'll thank me later. Coming in at number 4 is my man Robin Thicke with his album Blurred Lines. He comes in with 46,000 albums sold this week. Robin Thicke is on a major roll right now. His song Blurred Lines is killing the Billboard charts. I mean, he's doing his thing. And, you know, he's giving all his credit. He's saying, look, it was a Marvin Gaye inspired track. No, he did not illegally sample anything, but it was inspired by Marvin Gaye, who was one of his big inspirations. So I like to see people who actually give it up. You know, a lot of times our melanin deficient singing counterparts don't like to give up, you know, their inspirations and how they were, you know, thinking about doing something. But Robin Thicke, man, unlike a lot of people, he's not trying to be a pop artist. He's an R&B artist to the core. So big up to Robin Thicke and what he's still doing. Not far behind him is my man Jay-Z. Magna Carta, the Holy Grail, comes in at number 6 with 37,000 copies sold. The set is already platinum plus. It's heading towards double platinum. And he actually rounds out the top 10 for this week. So, it's, you know, pretty good for urban releases this week. You know, a couple of other things on Billboard charts. Everything else was country and kids stuff. So,
right.
You know how that goes. But, yo, I have to say this, man, because I really want to get right into it. Our topic today. Now, I know everybody looks at me and says, oh, Nick Eden, he is the R&B cat of the middleman. You know, you listen to my show Tuesday Morning Takeover every Tuesday from 10 to 12, you hear R&B. You hear me talk about R&B all the time, but I really do love hip-hop, and I'm a fan of hip-hop crew, so I'm excited about this show today. So I say we get right into it. What do you think, fellas?
Hey, let's roll.
All right, I know my man KG got a clip brewing for us. We can go ahead and get that joint cranking up. We are right into it.
All right, this clip right here, and we're going to play. Got a little length to it. I'm going to let y'all know. I want y'all to get your pens and pads out and write down some of these crews. Are they your favorite? Which ones are the best? Which ones do you guys like the most? Which ones do you remember? Like, man, whatever happened to them? Some of you may not even recognize the voices. But check out this clip right here. This is Hip Hop Best Crews. Slow montage of all these different groups over time. Check it out. You're live on the Middleman Talk Show blog. What is this, man? Talk of Town. My bad.
All is one, all is well. Taking blame to y'all out, say, and me thinking you would never. cause we came in it together, representing one another like good brothers. To the crowd when you die.
Early in the morning, hopping to the BNZ. I got 44 ways to get paid. Sitting in my lap as I roll up the Compton block. To scoop up red, I heard shots.
And bow down when I come to your town. Bow down when I'm wet with rain.
Bow down.
Cause I ain't a hater like you. Bow down to a nigga that's greater than you.
AJ, what love, love, nigga, what? You got your blue suit, you got your knife. But if you pop one time, my shoes got my back up tight.
I'm bugging out, but let me get back, cause I'm wetting niggas. So fun and tell the others, cause we all the brothers. I learned how to build mics in my workshop class. So give me the solo and let's not make it to last.
The only youngin' out hugging that pavement for paper. They were shoveling pavements for neighbors. I never made it to them 5-on-5. They was playing live, I was trying to stay live.
In penitentiary cell, I'm making dogs rebel. Ain't hard to tell, you never really wanted it. So the mic is up the front of it. Out of 16 shots, I'm a hit. Just 20 you niggas am I gonna get?
That you come out when you drunk. Your ass won't make me see tomorrow. We step up in the club with one thing on our mind, that's lit with something.
Well, it's the M.I. Cricket Lester coming around the south, rolling straight hammers and bows in that old southern slouch. Please, ain't nothing but incense in my atmosphere. I'm being in corners in my lag box, cause that's how we've been rolling here.
Nonsense perseveres, prayers laced with fear, beware. Triple A,
it might feel good, it might sound a little something, but damn the game, if it don't mean nothing, what is game, who got game, where's the game in life?
MCTA, real nigga, polo, fuck that heel figure, made myself a ghetto star, on the slab, sipping bar, smoking weed, setting white, if mother nigga shit don't come back right, that's how niggas get popped, trying to get the cheaper price.
Four wings of see my niggas got bang up in the middle of the jacks while they pitching rotating. G up, both tough on the turf, huh? Long johns and some jeans, fuck a button of sheepy.
RIPs with slackin', so the stash box picking up the sweets and mackin', yeah. I'm feeling new, but I demand some respect, cause I already wear your advance on my neck.
Yeah, that almighty amazing, highly contagious, kamikaze style flash, like a shot from engaging to your body style class. Head of the class, magnum, come loud and beef, bring the beef, stop me, flavor, foul, rowdy, beef, pipe.
Sitting in the club with you, wishing he had dipped before the shit popped off, cause he ain't got your best interest. I turn in his back henchman. In the beginning, I wasn't certain, but a nigga stay observing and I listen.
Something like one of the rawest niggas that ever touched the mic. Did it stay mad at me? I'm getting high and missing my life. At the hotel with a couple of bankers, getting right, getting lit, getting full of that light green, sticky shit.
See, them Cubans don't care what y'all niggas do. Colombians ain't never ran with your crew. While you acting all spicy and shiesty, the only Italians you knew was icy. Niggas price me, I'm keeping it clean.
I'm just a knockout, definition original, baby gangsta. Approach me like you hard motherfucker, I'm a banker. Shank ya with my fucking shank if I have to.
My DJ cuts material. Granitarium. It's a must that I bust any mic you hand to me. It's inherited, it runs in the family.
And that was the hip-hop best crews. I'm not going to say that those were the best crews, but at the same time, those were a lot of crews you guys can go back and check out and listen to right there. Now
yeah, most definitely.
Y'all can see Al over here dancing.
Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of the song brought me back, man.
I see.
My Adidas with the shoelaces out, man.
Now, can I give y'all a quick rundown on who we heard right there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. Heard Mo Thugs, Speed Not Monsters, Wu-Tang, Bone Thugs and Harmony, The Outlaws, that was the Tupac y'all was in,
mm-hmm.
Crucial Conflict, West Side Connection, N.W.A., 3-6 Mafia, Tribe Called Quest, let's see, G-Unit, Rough Riders, Dog Pound, Mobb Deep, Outkast, Public Enemy, UGK, Dipset, Lil Jon and Eastside Boys, Hot Boys, Roots, D12, MJG, 8-Ball, De La Soul, Eric B. and Rakim, and the greatest group of ever, all times, in my opinion, Run DMC.
Well, you know what? Let me throw a little, not controversy, but let me throw a little swerve into this whole thing. And let me ask you something. Would you consider a lot of these a hip-hop crew or a hip-hop group? And the reason that I ask that, because I always kind of looked at them as two different things. You know what I mean? You had your hip-hop crews, you had your hip-hop groups, and then you had your hip-hop roster. And to me, what I've always felt was the ultimate hip-hop crew was Wu-Tang Clan. That's my favorite hip-hop crew of all time.
Yeah.
You know, this was a collection of artists who had their own things going on, but when they came together, you know, it was all about the Wu. You know, a hip-hop group, you know, I would go with just like, you know, KG mentioned, African, Run DMC. I would go with the UGKs. Like, to me, okay, prime example, Outkast was a hip-hop group. The Dungeon Family was a hip-hop group. You get what I'm saying?
Right, exactly, definitely.
You get what I'm saying? As opposed to a hip-hop roster like a G-Unit where, you know, yeah, they did a group album, but this is more, you know, this is 50 Cent and this is his artist that he's trying to set up and put out. You get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So while a lot of those, I love them, but I wouldn't consider them all hip-hop crews.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just my little perspective on it.
Right. Right. I mean, there were a lot of, you know, saying hip hop crews and you know, groups, but you know, back in the day, you got to think about, you know, when N.W.A. formed, you got Grandmaster Flash, the Furious Five. You know what I'm saying? You got the group. You got
BDP.
BDP, the Dog Pound. You got Two Live Crew. You know, you got Screwed Up Clique. Man, it's so many crews out there that consist of, you know, artists that did certain things and did different things when they were done individually or maybe duos or something like that that comprise of a full group. And then, like, I also want the whole situation with, like, how labels are coming and making it look like they are a crew. Just like how, you know what I'm saying, how Maybach Music is, how Bad Boy is, how Young Money is, how Cash is, how Cash Money was, you know, how Suave House was, how Rap-A-Lot was. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, those labels, to me, like, they gathered, I guess you would say, the best artists in their eyes and formed them as, like a powerhouse type crew situation. So, but I mean, who do you think out of the different hosts had the most collective body as far as the best crew in general? You know, out of the West, the South, the Deep South, the East, Midwest.
When you say the best, do you mean from success or do you mean from
content? Just in your opinion, I'm not even like. Album sales is like, really, you can't put that out there because, like, you got one artist and one group that helped that whole clique have better albums. So I look at it as, like, who in your opinion was the best crew or the best label?
I think one of the most successful for their short reign was One Suge Knight ran.
Oh, Death Row?
Oh, Death Row. I think Death Row was one of the most successful over a period of time. I think one of the ones that had a very good run was No Limit.
Yeah. Right.
one of the most international one is, like Nick said, the Wu. Wu was like, they were very dominant in that time.
To me, Wu-Tang was the ultimate hip-hop crew. It's like I said, because one thing that Al said a little earlier, it's like you had one artist carrying a lot of these hip-hop crews, and, you know, he was a reason for the sale. Like with Wu-Tang, you could hear a Wu-Tang song and be like, dang, you know, Ghostface killed Raekwon on that, or Ghostface killed Method Man on that. But then you turn around, and then when it's time for it, when they start dropping their solo album, you're like, nah, Method Man's album was hotter than Raekwon's or hotter than Ghostface, you know, so it wasn't really like one person that was fueling the entire thing. I think a good example of what Al was talking about was just taking it to some modern day times with Boys in the Hood. You knew that Young Jeezy was a standout star, hands down.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't that many people, and I'm not being funny, all respect to him, but it wasn't that many people like, man, I can't wait to get that that Duke album.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? But the
right.
difference, and I think it shows, with the exception, and even though he used to be signed to them, with the exception of Jeezy, everybody else was signed to Show Enough / Block Entertainment. You get what I'm saying? Jeezy had his own situation with Def Jam. I think that crews work the best with everybody have their own thing going. Because it's like, okay, we're together as a group, but when we break apart, like my favorite hip hop crew right now is Slaughterhouse. Hands down. That's my favorite hip hop crew.
But they ain't doing nothing though.
They're on their solo kicks right now. You gotta think, Joe Budden just put up 100,000 independent on his solo album.
I understand.
What Slaughterhouse does is they do their thing individually. They come together, they do their Slaughterhouse album, and then they go back. Like, you got to think, the music business has evolved so much. To me, they're the modern day formula for what a hip hop crew should do, because you have each one of them has their core fans in their core areas. And you know, if you hear Slaughterhouse album, if you know that six to eight months later, you're gonna hear Joel Ortiz project. Or a Crooked Eye project, or a Royce the 5'9" project, or a Joe Budden project. So they're keeping their core fan bases going and bringing them together for that Slaughterhouse. Prime example, you're not going to see Joe Budden in Detroit if he's not with Royce the 5'9".
Well,
you're not going to see you know, Crooked Eye in New York unless he's with Joe Budden or with Joel Ortiz. Like, they're not outshining each other. I mean, Joe has a little bit more shine because he was on Love & Hip Hop, but overall, they're not outshining each other.
Yeah. I mean, because even when, you know, Slaughterhouse came out, like, I didn't even know who Joel Ortiz was. I knew the other.
Well, you know, I'm like a big East Coast fan, so I've been on Joel for a minute.
Yeah, he's one of the hottest cats that was, like, underground for a minute up there.
Right. Oh, yeah, I didn't know who he was. I just thought he just came out of nowhere, like, okay, maybe somebody knew somebody that knew somebody, but I didn't know who he was. You know, I had to go back and actually, like, look him up to find out who he was. So, because I was trying to find out, like, what made them a group, you know what I'm saying, in general. Because they, I mean, of course, you got your different, you know, people that came from different areas or whatever. But to me, it was like, I thought they was trying to do something from, you know, like, from outside looking in, not even listening to their music. I thought it was copying G-Unit, when G-Unit had artists from different areas that came together. That's what I thought was about to happen. You know, like, we're going to be like the group that G-Unit should have been. Do you feel that way, Nick?
I mean, think that was a smart formula, but that it could have been the premise, you know, but them guys, I think overall, man, it was just a bunch of lyrical cats that, you know, somewhere they was like, let's put these lyrical cats together, which, you know, Eminem had a lot to do with that.
Right.
Yep. Because, yeah. I mean, think about it. The first album came out on E1, but then, you know, a couple of years later, they signed with Shady. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And I do think Eminem had a lot to do with it. But I think if Eminem would have been in the group, it would have completely overshadowed them.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Just like D12.
It'd have been another D12.
Yep.
Right. So what do you feel about, like what makes a crew strong? Like, what makes a crew strong with their base? Like, we know the situation with Nelly and the St. Lunatics. That's a great example of a crew or a group that didn't make it. Only one really just made it, and that was Nelly. Now, of course, all of them thrived off of Nelly doing other things to keep, you know, the foundation going.
But when Ali tried to do solo, when Murphy Lee tried to go solo, I mean, it wasn't like Nelly.
Well, I think what happened was, and if I'm not mistaken, and I really think that Charlie's probably more, you know, versed in this particular story, I think that it was a situation, you know, they came as a group, and Universal was like, well, we want Nelly, and if Nelly can at least go gold, then we'll do a St. Lunatic album. They didn't think he was going to do 10 million.
True.
I don't care what anybody says, because you got to think, you know, Nelly was the soldier boy of his era.
Right.
Nelly was the soldier boy of his era, because everybody was like, nah, dude can't rap. You know, he's not this, he's not that. You know, they were like, if he can just go gold, at least go gold, then we'll do a St. Lunatic project. And then from there, it was just kind of like classic solo artist breakout. He came out, he did his thing, and it was like, wait, we got to ride this whole Nelly thing as far as we can ride it.
But you know, one thing, though, what I feel that made them guys strong was the fact that the core group of those guys were in unison when it came to, we're going to support Nelly, because the label was like, we want to go with him first. I think that's one thing that made those guys strong. And, you know, even though I know, like, tonight we're talking about crews, but we can also add groups in there, too. You know, a lot of these groups, you know, even if we look at Outkast, you know, when those two were put together, which a lot of people don't realize, they were put together, and from, you know, some of the guys that talk around here, I did not know CeeLo was supposed to have been a part of Outkast. Now, imagine that. But, you know, working together from the beginning and bonding together, man, and going through the trials, I think that would make a lot of those guys respectable amongst each other. But, you know, maybe later on in their careers, after being around each other so long and not having that breakaway, because once you get caught up in the crew or group mentality, or you're part of that and that's all people see, all of a sudden you look around, you know, and these guys are not together no more because they've just been around each other so much and not had a chance to spread their wings and fly.
Right. Now, let's take, for instance, N.W.A. Now, we all know how N.W.A. came in, you know, powerful force. But then, of course, when the contracts were thrown in their face, you know, of course, Cube left. But on the back end, like, you know, before all of this happened, like, you know what I'm saying, like, what do you think, like, really kept them together? Because you got all guys that were really, to me, I mean, if you look at them, all of them were headstrong in their own way, right?
Yeah. Nick, I don't know if you remember this, but they had a documentary on those guys. And, you know, I think the thing that they were saying that made them close, they had a verbal agreement of, we're going to do this together, you know.
Right.
And Ice Cube was somewhat partially the glue of everything because he wrote a majority of the rhymes.
Right.
So when you start looking at money and contractual agreements, which, you know, a lot of these guys are not, you know, just smart enough to realize, call it what it is. They wasn't smart enough to look at the contract. They're looking at, hey, man, these dudes giving us $70,000. I'm about $40,000. I'm about to sign this. I need this money right now. I ain't got no money like this. So I think a lot of times when it came to money, that right there made the glue just wore thin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Which is the exact reason why I felt like Wu-Tang was the ultimate formula for it, because they all had their own situation. I say this to groups all the time. The more you can keep the money separate, the more longevity you will have as a group.
True that.
Yeah, there you go.
Because somebody
there you
is
go.
Gonna be.
Well, I mean, you can say that more so towards a crew, though, Nick. Because like with a group, if you got Outkast or you got UGK, you know, I mean, the only reason why them two did solo albums was because one went to prison and the other one didn't. Then the other one died and the other one's still around. You know, when you got a group, you really can't keep that money apart. But like you said, with Wu-Tang, they had a crew of artists.
But here's the thing about it, though, Kev. You look at UGK. Let's be real. UGK, that was 50-50. They were both strong on their own and strong together.
We're saying the
same
thing.
You know what I'm saying? You look at something like, okay, let's look at Dipset. Are you going to tell me that, you know, Juel Santana and Jim Jones, you know, they're the, you know, Hell Rail is equal to them?
No, no.
Hell no.
Not at all. You get what I'm saying? Are you gonna really gonna look at Young Money and say, well, you know, Lil Chucky go just as hard as Drake?
Hey, but who would have ever imagined with the Hot Boys that Lil Wayne would have been the breakout dude? You always would have thought Juvenile was that guy.
Yep.
But you have to realize that for the time, Juvenile was a breakout guy. Let's not forget,
yeah, he was.
Juvenile still has the highest sales record in Cash Money history.
True that.
400 Degrees sold more than any other Cash Money release. Any other Cash Money release.
Yeah.
He was a breakout star. And honestly, with the exception of Turk, all the Hot Boys had their chance to shine. BG shined more than Independent. Juvenile shined when Cash Money was hot. Lil Wayne was the only one left. And I'm not saying that to take anything away from him, but the truth of the matter was, he was the only one left. If you wanted a Cash Money CD from 2000 to 2003, you either had Lil Wayne or you had Birdman. Your choice. Pick one. I think I'd go with Lil Wayne.
That is true. That is true.
But you look at it now, it's like a lot of crews, they're just not, they weren't equal. They were not equal.
But, you know, 9 out of 10 times, that is the formula for that crew, because in that crew, you're going to have 2 or 3 standout guys. Because 9 out of 10 times, when you put a group of guys together, I've seen it personally, where you had 2 or 3 guys that stood out. But the rest of them, you know, they were homeboys, you cool with them, you're going to bring them along because you're like, these are my dudes, man, I ain't going to leave them behind like this. And you put them on records. They may not be the most talented cat, but you put them on records anyway because it's your homeboy. That's how a lot of that start, where you have the separation from cat right here in the back, like a Hell Rail, all the way up to the Jim Jones. But they knew that from the beginning. They just wanted to put each other on. I mean, if you remember when the crews were put together back in the day, that was the premise of a lot of them, to put the certain dudes on, which I can't say Wu-Tang is an exception of that. And Rough Riders. Rough Riders and Wu-Tangs are two exceptions because they all came in with individual artists already coming in as one.
Right. Yeah. And all those artists, you know, had talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just wasn't just, you know, one person feeding off the next. You know, all those individual artists had some type of talent. Some genre and some population of people wanted to buy their album. Now, I can't say I wanted to buy every member of Wu-Tang album. I didn't. You know,
because some of that stuff was just flat out over my head, especially when they got the solo stuff. A lot of that was over my head.
Right. But you got to think collectively. I had that record, but for them to come back time after time, a Wu album, I mean, it was, you know, a lot of crews can't do that. A lot of crews can't come back to the table and do another album. Just like when Hot Boys broke up, when they tried to get back together, it didn't work. It didn't work, you know.
All the money was under one umbrella.
Right.
All the money was under one umbrella.
Now, as we come into, like, more present day, of course, you know, you have, you know, Puffy still trying to, you know, get his Bad Boy, you know, that label to the, you know, back to where I guess he feel like it needs to be, which they still got hot records out there. You know, they still pumping music, spending a lot of money. But I think the spending a lot of money is really helping that too. But they do have some interesting artists on the label, but compared to what Puff had back when he had Carl Thomas, 112, Biggie, Mace, Faith, Black Rob, had just a partial situation with Lil Kim. I mean, he would never be able to do that again. He would never be able to, you know, have that run like he had back in the day with that amount of talented artists whose albums all went platinum.
Well, nobody really is. Let's be honest. Nobody really is. I mean, when you think of hip hop crews nowadays, like crew wise, in terms of putting out albums, you know, you got Maybach Music putting their album out, which I still consider that a hip-hop roster, and now it's not so much a crew.
Right.
Young Money, of course, is the one everybody likes to holler out. But let's be real, that Young Money album went gold. You want to know who else went gold? The Band. Now,
yeah.
You had an album with Lil Wayne, Drake, and Nicki, and the album tapped out at gold. And don't
right.
get me wrong, there's nothing but a gold album. Hell, I'd love one. But the truth of the matter is, in the grand scheme of it, in the grand scheme of not even so much the sales from, you know, what we would call the golden age of hip-hop, but just the normal sales that Lil Wayne puts up, the normal number that Drake puts up, the normal number that, well, let's not say Nicki, that album still ain't on platinum. Anyway, but just in their normal numbers, you're talking about cats that sell in excess of 2 and 3 million. And then when it came
right.
to the group album, you know, you kind of tap out of gold. Like, that's to me, there's no, people are not stupid. They can tell when a group is just a bunch of thrown together cats. You get
right.
what I'm saying? Like, State Property was my favorite crew in the early 2000s because all them cats could fit. And they had hot records. And they really put them together. So even, you know, not judging by sales, you felt like, okay, these cats are really in the studio and they're really filling this album. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't get that from...
But it seems like now, you know what I'm saying, like, that's the thing to do. Like, if you're on the label and you're collectively, I guess you would say, new artists together, on the label together, why not do a compilation collaboration album? But I know
I know
the premise behind it. I know the premise behind it. You know, they want to see who's going, you know, who the fans are going to gravitate towards the, you know, the most. But why do it though?
Nobody's going to believe it. Let's be honest about it. Nobody's going to think that it's authentic. Let's be real. Do you really think that you're going to see, you know, like, okay, let's take, you know, the mid to late 90s. Back in the day, you heard a song. If it was a Rough Rider song, you heard DMX. You heard Jadakiss. You heard E.
Right.
You know, no matter how many one was outselling the other, they were still willing to reach back and get on the verse with the other person. That's what a hip-hop crew was.
But I think I think they did it for money purposes too. The labels pushed that. You know what I'm saying? That was the formula then.
It worked though, Kev. That's what I'm saying. You know what's not gonna work? Lil Twist and Nicki Minaj on the phone together. I got a better chance of getting a song with Nicki Minaj than Twist does.
Well, you know they had some strange compilations because. You know, even
right.
with the Flip Mode Squad, remember the Flip Mode Squad?
Yeah.
Oh, they
yeah.
had some weird combinations on them CDs, but it was because it was the crew.
Yeah.
But
that is
okay,
true.
Okay, that's to me, Flip Mode Squad is not a good example because, with the exception, okay,
Rampage,
spit off five split star verses.
Rampage, don't forget about Rampage.
Rod Digger.
Rod Digger. Now, Rod Digger had an album out the hell of own. They had Baby Sham, which he wasn't done. Lord Have Mercy wasn't that good.
No.
But at the same time, they had cats that were selling, you know, records.
That's not. But Flip Mode is not a good example. Like, Flip Mode as a crew and as Busta's label never really got off. And I think the problem is the fact that there were so many other crews that were busting heads at the time. It's like they couldn't really compete.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't really compete. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether you
let's talk about your favorite group. The G Unit. Tony Ayo.
The G Unit wasn't my favorite group.
I'm just saying.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I didn't like the G Unit group album. I did.
I'm just saying though. You had Tony Ayo. That was the bottom of the barrel when it came to rapping.
Tony Ayo was the bottom of the barrel when it came to rapping. But, okay, let's look at it from a business standpoint. They have been screaming. They, like, 50 Cent, and a lot of people don't realize this, but they won't admit it. 50 Cent took a very simple formula, and he kind of got it from Nelly. He was shouting out Yayo's name from the time he came out. He was setting you up to buy Tony Yayo's album, whether Tony Yayo was a good rapper or not. Same thing with Flood City from Lunatic. They had them talking. They named their first album. The first group album was named, it was Free Fud. You get Free City. You get what I'm saying? So where did Tony's album go? Plus, you got to think. 50 took another formula. He took a formula from Drake, and he took a lot of his songs and gave them to his artists. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So right. He had, you know, Tom Yayo with So Seductive, which was clearly a 50 Cent song. You had Game, even though Game had his own thing going, you know, a good bit of those records were 50 Cent records already. That
well, yeah, well, yeah.
On. You
well,
had,
yeah,
you know, yeah, records for, you know, Buck, even though Buck had his own thing going on, that 50 already had those records. You definitely had, I mean, I'm not being funny when I say this, and I like the cat, but Lloyd Banks, most of Lloyd Banks' album was 50's album. You get what I'm saying? But the album still went gold. I mean, he got, Tony Yayo still got a gold album out of it.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, either way it goes.
But I don't even categorize them as a group. I put them in that same hip hop.
They're a crew. They're a crew. It's a whole
lot
of
crew. They're a crew. But you know,
they were some hangers on. Let's be honest. Had it not been for the fact that 50 had a situation, had some money, had some things going on for him, like, what was the likelihood that you would have seen Lloyd Banks and, you know, Tony Yayo together? What's
outside
the likelihood that you would have seen any of them with Buck?
Outside of who, wasn't
it? If it had not been for the 50 Cent connection, and we're not talking about a crew that was, oh, we all came up together.
But, I mean,
they
most crews
Buck
are put together, man. Let's get that put. Let's keep that real. Most crews are put
That's
together.
True,
them dudes
but
put
I don't
together
consider them a
like
crew.
Everybody else.
I don't consider them a crew. I don't consider them a crew at all. Like I said, I think considering G Unit a crew.
What makes a crew then, Nick? Well, how many members it taking, and what makes a crew?
I'm not gonna say it's a member number, but in my eyes, and I, you know, if this is just my opinion on it, and this is just based on what I've seen, what I've been a part of, what I've witnessed. To me, a crew
yeah
is people who have come together on their own accord for the purpose of putting out starting a movement or starting a project.
Okay.
I'm signed to Lil Wayne, and I'm the only one from Quad Up who didn't leave him, and now he's got some momentum going, shouting out this Young Money thing, and next thing I know, I'm in a room with Nicki Minaj, Drake, and Mac Mane. Oh, yeah, we a crew. And they didn't see each other outside of studio sessions if they were even in the studio with each other. Because even Nicki Minaj said, Nicki Minaj was on the road with Gucci for most of the YMCMB album being put together.
Mm. Well,
that's not a
crew. All right, so let's say, I don't know if you know anything about A$AP Mob, but A$AP Mob was like a group of kids that just came together at a young age, and they stayed together as a crew that wanted to rap.
Yep.
And they started a movement to where here they are today. You know, they have
a,
you know,
that's
they are.
Okay.
Hold on.
The same way I think that Strange Fruit Project is a crew. The same way that I think that, you know, Odd Future, that's the crew.
Yeah,
that's a bunch of dudes. But I'm going to get y'all, check this out. I got the top 20 hip-hop crews right here. I'm going to get to you. From 20 all the way down to number one. And this is by Encyclopedia Hip Hop. It's as from Encyclopedia Hip Hop. Number 20, The Commission. If y'all don't know who The Commission is, that's Jay-Z,
yep,
Charlie Baltimore, Little C's, Lance Riviera, and Puffy.
Right.
I'll go through this quickly.
I can see that.
19, Flavor Unit. DJ
right
Mark, Lakeem Shabazz, Queen Latifah, Apache, Chia Rob G, Lord Abowski, Latee, and Rotten Rascals, and the rest of them dudes right there. And RSO was part of, which Bazino was part of that too. Alright, 18, The Hilltop Hustlers. You know, they had Three Time Dope, some members in there, some members from Bad Boy in there. Yeah, from Baby Boy, I'm sorry. Double Cats, that's an old crew right there. That might be a little bit above a lot of folks' head right there.
Yeah.
Right. Number 17, State Property. Y'all know there's Beanie Siegel, Freeway, Sparks, Young Guns, Petey Crack.
Right.
We already know who in Flip Mode Squad. That's number 16. Number 15, The Diplomats.
That's Cameron, GM, Freaky, Jules, and Jules. All right, yeah. Number 14, Terror Squad.
I've had them all.
I'm just saying that these are the top. I'm just telling you. These are crews. Number 14, Terror Squad. Y'all forgot about them. Fat Joe, Big Bun, Big Bun, Armageddon, Triple C's, and Prospect. Number 13, G-Unit. I ain't got to say nothing but G-Unit. Number 12, Dungeon Family. I ain't got to say nothing but Dungeon Family. And yes, Future was a part of the Dungeon Family, y'all.
Yeah, he was. Second 11, generation.
Cash Money Millionaires. I ain't got to say no more than that. All right, we're going to go over here to number 10. Murder, Inc.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
What version of Murder,
Charlie Baltimore, Santi. It still was a crow. Led by old Ja Rule and Irv.
Yeah.
Number
See,
9.
Okay, I'm not being... Hold on, Kev. I got to tell you this real quick about Murder, Inc. You got to remember, there were two versions of Murder, Inc. The original
Murder,
Inc. was Jay-Z, DMX, and Ja Rule.
Exactly. Because they were actually supposed to do an album together. I don't know what happened. Where I think Def Jam wouldn't let that happen, I guess. I don't know.
I think they got smart and said, we're not going to put Ja Rule on the same album as Jay-Z and DMX. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right. Number 9. No Limit. 2 Men of the Name.
Yeah.
Number 8. Boot Camp Click. Some of y'all cats may not remember. That was Buckshot, Steel, Tech, Rock, Ruck, Louisville, Slugger, Stranger, Woda, Top Dog. I thought he was dead. Number 7, Rough Riders. Y'all know we just talked about them. Number 6, The Firm. Nas, Foxy Brown, Nation, Omega.
Oh,
that's number
6.
Number 5, The Wu-Tang. Too many names here. Name. Number 4, BDP. Chris.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is KRS-One, DJ Scott LaRock, D-Nice, Kenny Parker. Number 3, that's the Hit Squad. Who don't remember the Hit Squad? You might not be up on your hip-hop if you don't remember the Hit Squad. That was EPMD, Redman, K-Solo, Dos Effect, and Keith Murray, and DJ Scratch. Number 2, Native Tongue. It's a little bit far back for some of y'all youngsters, but this was like Queen Latifah, T.I. Lee, Dres, Mike G, Baby Sam, Sammy B, Fife, Ali, Shaheed. This was part of like 3 different groups really into one.
Yeah.
But they had Q-Tip in there, Moni Love.
Yeah.
That was a big, big, big camp. The number one crew of all time. That's what they say, not number one of all time, but the number one crew was the Juice Crew. Marley Marl, Roxanne Shanté, MC Shan, Mr. Magic, Big Daddy Kane, Craig G, Tragedy, Biz Markie, TJ Swan, Glamorous, Master Ace, Granddaddy IU, DJ Polo. That was a dope crew right there.
I can agree with them being number one.
Yeah.
I can definitely agree with them being number one.
Yeah.
Some of those others on that list are real, real stuff.
Man. Everybody on here, in my opinion, is a crew. And then just to get back to some
about
of the
their
things.
Position. I'm talking about their position on that list.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know.
As dope as the Commission and the Firm were, let's be real, they never really jumped off.
True. Somebody
they
died.
They never really jumped off. They should have been more down in
somebody
the...
Somebody died
and
somebody got and, beat up. With Dre got
right,
beat
and
up.
And Nas and Cormega fell out. So, I mean, it wasn't even going to happen after that. You know what I'm saying?
Somebody got beat up.
They didn't mention Cuban Link with Terror Squad.
Yeah, he was in there.
You get what I'm saying?
Cuba Link was in the Terror Squad, yo.
Yeah, he was.
They got to know.
Yeah.
But overall, man, just as far as like, you know what I'm saying, a lot of these crews didn't stick together. A lot of them split up, man. And we know there was various reasons why a lot of these guys split up. But, you know, it's crazy. But we got a caller right here. Let's bring this call in. Caller, you live with the middleman on Talk of the Town. What's up?
What's up, Troop of the Dog, man?
What's happening, brother?
Man, just chilling, man. I hear you. Man, these crews, you know, anybody know something about crews, it's Troop of the Dog, man. I know about crews. You know, I reflect back up on the NWA posse.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then I look at the Rough Rider Click, and then I look at even Cruz prior to the advent of those individuals. You know, you look at the Wu-Tang Clan and all of these other groups like that. But you know, Click, a lot of Click split up as a result of unfair treatment in one way or another, or wherever people feel that they're not being treated right. You know, you take, for example, one of the things that stood out for me and taught me a lot about Cruz and in connection with handling business from that type of perspective was the NWA posse, the NWA crew. You know, you got your front line, you got Dr. Dre, you got Yellow Boy, you know what I mean? You got Ice Cube. You know, Ren was a six man on the squad, actually. You know, he wasn't one of the original parts of it, but you know, when it came down to the handling the business and the money aspect of the situation, that's when people start looking cockeyed at everything. Because you know, once like for instance, you remember when the Easy Does It album came out?
You know
what I'm saying? See, when the Easy Does It album came out, one of the conflicts that was involved with that was dealing with contractual differences. You know, that was Easy's album. But, you know, a lot of people didn't know that Ice Cube wrote all of those songs.
Yeah.
You know, Ice Cube wrote that man's record. But the title of the thing was NWA Easy Does It, Eazy-E. It was an Eazy-E's album. So, you know, we have to look at the things in terms of a business. So when the checks came in, Jerry Heller couldn't disperse the checks equally a month. And I think the checks were in the amount of like $75,000 a piece.
Uh-huh.
But he couldn't disperse those checks because NWA, you know, wasn't signed as a group on the label. And so checks were obsolete until he had to get everybody that was listed on the roster. You got Dr. Dre, you know, Andre Wright, and all these people that was listed on the NWA roster by name. These individuals weren't listed on the NWA on the Ruthless label as a group.
True.
Jerry Heller couldn't disperse the $75,000 checks amongst them until they all signed as a group. Well, Ice Cube looked at that and was like, "Whoa, wait a minute!
I can't mess with it.
This is Click stuff. I can't get it."
Yeah.
But everybody
exactly. I got a question for you. Now, what made some of those crews strong? You know, because like we were just saying a couple of minutes ago, a lot of these crews, even though we spoke on a lot of them broke up. And I know money was an issue on some, but what made a crew strong? What you think, in your opinion, what made these guys strong and what really broke a lot of these guys apart?
I think what made a lot of them, those groups, strong is the actual trials and tribulations that they witnessed the thrill of. And I think that they would say the same thing. But I think what split them up is a lack of knowledge and insight into the business.
Into the business,
and if they had a working knowledge of how the music business goes, then I think that a lot of them would still be together to this day.
Right.
And you gotta think about this too, Trooper. You know, back when NWA was forming, none of them knew anything about the business. All that they knew was how to actually do music and go get money from shows. They didn't know anything about, you know, paper.
Right.
Easy was approached by the you know what I'm saying, by the label and then the money, and then he saw how much money he could make. And then that's when the tables turned. You know what I'm saying?
Easy,
I think a lot of labels like that happened.
Right. Well, see, the thing is with a lot of the companies now and the artist roster is that the artists don't have the boss type of mentality. See, Easy always had a boss type of mentality because he sold dope on the street, and he always was a boss in that regard. But even he didn't understand the game in its fullest strength. So Jerry Heller, Wayne, and Scooter, now he took time out with himself and dedicated and committed himself to learning the business. Well, just think. And then Ice Cube did it later on. But they're just all of them had that boss type of mentality like that and could understand the business, took out time to take, you know, to learn the business in the light that Easy actually learned it. They never would have felt that they would have got screwed out of a deal. Because in all actuality, there's no such thing as a good record deal. It don't exist. a good record deal deals with you getting exactly what you want. And nobody
Man, that ain't gonna happen no more. But you know one thing thing that we noticed, man, is that like even just dealing with Cruz from back in the day and these collections of group and artists that were put together, it's rare to see something on that level that we saw a long time ago with the talent that they acquired. Because we were talking about, like, one thing in my opinion, the Hit Squad was a very talented crew. You had EPMD, you had Keith Murray, you had Redman, you had Dos Effect and K-Solo. Now, Dos Effect may have been on the low end of the talent of that crew, but at the same time, I think when they were put together by you know what I'm saying, Eric, man, it was like, it was, I mean, you know, Paris and Eric, man, they made a good choice for that roster. You look at a lot of these guys now, you know, it's like, okay, you may got one or two talent out of that whole crew. You know what I'm saying? But overall, when you look at it, those guys can't, everybody else on that group can't hold a candle to the top stars. But back in the day, everybody could handle their own. Now it's like, okay, hopefully he can hold up on the
press. Okay, and then if that's the case, then you can't help but look at how individuals and parts of groups have a tendency to ego trip. Everybody want to shine. But, you know, and that's the thing, but the people that, like, in today's music industry, the biggest problem with the crews of today is that they never learn the lessons of past groups.
Exactly.
So they are never going to be dynamic. Right. They're never going to
be.
There will never be another Wu-Tang Clan. There will never be another Death Row. There will never be another NWA. There will never be another Bad Boy. I don't care how much money Puffy got. I don't care how much money Jay got. He will never, ever, ever be able to. Look at Master P. Master P would never be able to put another No Limit clip.
Nah. That's funny you said that. Al said the same thing.
Because the kids today in the music industry is just simply cut from different cloths, and they're faced with totally different circumstances as opposed to how it was in the yesteryears. Back then, these brothers coming from Marsh and Projects and what's the Catio and all of these places, they know what it's like to be in poverty. These people of today, those people in the past, are their fathers.
Their fathers are rich.
So they done provided a life for these individuals that they don't have to witness the thrill of so much impoverishment, to where they don't have to feel like we ain't got to struggle too much. Our daddy got this money, or our uncle got this money, and we know somebody that know us that got this money. But back then, look at Jay. Jay was known as a crap shooter, man. In Martin Project, on his knees, shoot crap, but he's the same one that got on the album telling the world, man, I came in this thing 100 grand strong. He came in 100 grand strong because he hustled to get that money. Today, these kids can call their daddy. Biggie Simmons can call his daddy and say, look, man, let me get 100 grand, man.
Hey, Paul, I don't know what, man. Trooper, man, we appreciate you for your call. We got another caller waiting. We're going to go ahead and bring them in, man. You welcome anytime to come through, my man.
All the time, man. It's a blessing to be able to talk with you, brothers, man.
Most definitely.
I appreciate it.
All right. All right. We're going to bring in Fat Baby. What's going on out there in Griffin, GA?
Man, you know, the same old, man. Just on the grind right now, man.
Yeah, what you got an opinion on these hip-hop crews, man? What make a crew strong? Because I know you seen one. I'm going to say a name, and me and you going to know what it is. What we talking about? We talking about Red Clay Warriors. What make a crew strong?
What make a crew strong, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Every individual in that crew, they can stand out and hold their own.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That to me, in my opinion, you know what I'm saying? Like you can go down the whole crew roster and be like, hey, I can't wait to hear some solo from these guys. You know what I'm saying? From this guy right here. You know what I'm saying? Look at Wu. You know what I'm saying? Each, just about every member of the Wu, they had goddamn a guy that would come in. You know what I'm saying? They had a guy that's like, hey, yo. On the zone, you do the same. And probably the weakest link to me was ODB. You know what I'm saying?
ODB had one of the hardest followers of all of them.
But not, and that's not discrediting ODB, but to me,
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The other 8 members of the Wu rap circle around.
They say You Guy was the weakest link, even though I like You Guy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, though, you know what I'm saying? That's what it was. Like, with the Wu, think about it, you know what I'm saying? When Cash Money was in their prime, you know what I mean?
Right.
To me, the weakest link out of that crew, to me, was Turk and shit. Turk got platinum, you know what I'm saying, under himself. You know what I'm saying? About everything that came out of No Limit, you know what I'm saying? And shit, for a minute, it was probably all the way up to goddamn Ghetto Dope. Everything that came through that motherfucking shit, them niggas did at least gold or platinum. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. About the family, man. I mean, I know that you're an artist, you're in a group, you know, y'all have a crew of guys y'all, you know, deal with and work with. You know, what keeps you guys, you know, strong? And keep you guys going, or there's certain things that egg you alone and make you want to be like, man, forget about it. I don't even want to be in the crew no more.
It's all about having fun, man. You know what I'm saying? And the chemistry.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I don't been in groups. You know what I'm saying? Similar to Red Clay, like a while back. Matter of fact, probably about almost 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? I was in a group called the Woodwork Clique.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And we had 13 members. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But our love for this thing that we do called hip-hop kept it interesting. It kept it fresh. You got 13 different personalities that any track that came on in the studio, you know what I'm saying? You got niggas jockeying for position like, hey, yo, I want to get on this shit here. You know what I'm saying? We don't have fights. We don't damn near came to blows about, hey, who going to get on this song right here?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
I think creativity is expressed and exposed more so with the crew. Because, you know
what I'm saying?
That they may not be able to have delivery on the record. But,
you
know what I'm saying? They give you that vibe that you need to put a Hot 16 down or help you with your bars. You never know.
And that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, my group, the Grindhouse, right now, it's been narrowed down to just me and Chani. You know what I mean? And I make it my business that any track that me and him own together, just two of us, any track that me and him own together, I got to bust his ass.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ain't going to let you outspit me. You know what I mean?
There's
I ain't going to let you outspit
man.
Me. And I'm talking about we could be in the studio and boom. Like if he finished, if I come in the studio and he already got his verse dead to a song or we sitting there writing together and boom, I hear his shit and what I got on the paper so far, ain't up to snuff. Guess what? I'm finna ball that shit up and motherfucker eat that verse. You know what I'm saying? Cause I got to come harder. You know what I mean? And that's what makes it cool. Because now, you know what I'm saying? It's thick on that K-Dot shit. We friends, but my objection is to murder you. You know what I'm saying?
But
my objection is every time you hear me spit, I got to outbust you. You know what I mean? I got to. You know what I mean? And that's just, you know what I'm saying? That's the competition. And I'm so glad K-Dot did what he did. You know what I mean? Let's bring this shit back to rapping. Let's see who's the best rapper. You know what I'm saying?
I would love to see crew against crew. That used to be one of the big things back
right.
in the day.
Yeah.
But talking about
yeah.
Top Dog Entertainment against X, Y, and Z. Top Dog said they the best crew out there right now.
Right now.
You know
what I'm saying? Rocky and his crew and all the other guys. We don't have a whole lot of crews in this generation. But, just the competition of it.
Yeah, and that's it. And like for a little minute, you know what I'm saying? Like I got my little hip hop group on Facebook that, you know what I'm saying, we sit down and have discussions about it. You know what I'm saying? And we like the top crews right now is the Young Money crew, you know what I'm saying, the Maybach Music crew and the Good Music crew. And like, man, we had an ongoing debate, like, all right, out of them three, who's the best?
Wow,
you know what I mean?
That's crazy because if that's all we limit ourselves to. Because, I mean, from 2000, really like 98 to 2006, we had multiple crews. And now we're only down to
a lot of crews.
Right. Yeah, we the shit been narrowed down to like three crews. You know, like, I mean, you got some on the horizon about that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
but I mean, the major crews.
Major crews. You know what I'm saying? No, yeah, I mean, because niggas want that individual shine. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I like what T.I. just did with the hustle. Yeah, with the hustle game thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, T.I. like, okay, this is my crew right here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and then think about it. And if you probably been forgot about the hustle game crew. and he got some spitters on that crew. You know what I mean? Like, you can't sleep on them. But yeah, like, you know, the majors, you know, niggas want that solo shine, man. Niggas want that individual shine. Niggas ain't, you know what I'm saying, really just like, okay, you know, outside of that major artist, it ain't nothing, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, niggas ain't really just doing it like that no more. Like, why? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe, you know what I'm saying? Maybe the camaraderie of, okay, we came up together. Because, like, a lot of these niggas just manufacturing crews. Like, a lot of, you know, back in the days, you know what I'm saying? Like, your crew was niggas you came up with.
Right.
Right, exactly. We was broke together. We hit this road together. You know what I mean? Goddamn, okay, goddamn, y'all put me to the forefront. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and kick the door, man. Look like how Nelly did with the St. Lunatics. You know what I'm saying? They put a nigga to the forefront. Like, hey, but all them niggas came up together. These niggas was broke together. And they ain't what's really going on right now. You know what I'm saying? These niggas, you know what I'm saying? These niggas just manufacturing them. Like, okay, I'm going to sign, like, some of the best rappers I know. And these niggas hungry. This, that, or the third. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't really that real
camaraderie. You know one thing, man? You know, Fat Baby, man, we're going to go ahead and kind of shut everything down. But I appreciate you for those comments. But like you just said, man, a lot of these guys are manufactured today. Even though a lot of them were manufactured back in the day, because I'm looking at, even with Outkast, you know, those dudes were put together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, those two were put together. But, I mean, it made a great combination of artists. And we got one of the best top hip-hop southern groups ever. But, you know, I do think that honesty, I mean, not honesty, but loyalty plays a big part of it, especially if we grew up together, but we got to be able to function together, like you said.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
all that
it.
Stuff.
And not have that,
in it. So,
yeah,
you know,
not have that crab in the barrel mentality.
Most definitely,
you know what
man.
I'm
you
saying?
Gotta want to eat and let your family eat. That's your family.
You know
family.
What I'm saying? That's it, man.
But we appreciate you for your call tonight, man. We look forward to you. Let's shout out to your group, man. You can say your group name on here, man. We might come on and check you out.
Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? Grindhouse, man, we coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, I took a break from the lab, you know what I'm saying, just so I can call. I ain't even know what the subject was. I just called in, like, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? Because, hey, my people, y'all do y'all think. I love what y'all do, man, you know what I'm saying?
Appreciate
y'all
it, man. Appreciate
it. Y'all keep the pop thing going, man, you know what I'm saying? Grindhouse, we coming. Fat Baby, I'm coming, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep y'all posted on what's going on, man, you know what I'm saying? Griffin Georgia, stand up, man, you know what I'm saying? Middleman Radio, stand up, man, you know what I'm saying? I love
appreciate
what y'all
it.
Do, man, real talk. Definitely.
Hey, give a shout appreciate out to your discussion group, too, man, where y'all discuss everything at.
Man, most definitely, man, you know what I'm saying? Already, man, you know what I'm saying? That's hip hop, you know what I'm saying? It's a closed group, man, but I think I added you. You know what I mean? I can't remember, you know what
I'm
saying?
If you didn't,
like,
do it again.
All right, I'm going to do it again, man, and jump in there, man, because like I said, we have some shit going on, man, you know what I'm saying? We like opinions, but we respect facts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what we do, man. You know what I mean? All day, man. Like I said, man, y'all keep doing y'all thing, man. What?
I appreciate it, man. Allen, man, I appreciate it, man. It's a great topic that you brought up, man. And shout out to our man, you know what I'm saying, Trooper Dunn out there. I know he's doing his thing, too. I just heard one of his mixtape online a couple of days ago. Got to tell you, boy, you and C. Shaw are making some music now. Got to let you know. Y'all doing some things there.
All right, man. Shoot, let's take it out, man. Shoot, tune in to another episode of Talk of the Town with the Middleman. Excuse me, next Thursday. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Got caught on, you know what I'm saying? Got a little choke. Great show we're going to have on the Middleman Talk Show on this Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central, on the same Middleman Radio, same Middleman Show. And we out.
Well, then.
Yeah. Spell 5. Middleman. Yeah. Spell 5. Oh, follow me at Fell5 on Twitter. Yeah. It's the talk of the town, man. It's so ill. We talking real news in the music business here. Take your opinion in the chat or you can call in. Hey, they be going.